Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, it is the UK PS5 launch day today. That's not the news, but I feel like a lot of people will be getting their PlayStation 5 this morning. Yours just arrived in a lovely little cardboard box.
It's down there. I want to play it. I just want to go in it, Scott. We've got to do work. What's that about?
I know, but you got to get through the work day. Thankfully enough, the work day in regards to today is not that bad because we have some cool things to talk about. One is the Video Game Awards, the nominees all being out. Two is the fact that What Culture Gaming is now on the Video Game Awards jury panel, which is a hell of a thing for us to be able to say. And I couldn't believe it when Mr. Jeff Keighley slid in the old DMs and just said, like, hey, do you want to be in this thing? And it was like, oh my God. So yeah, where if you go on the Video Game Awards website and go to their list of all the judges, What Culture Gaming sitting on there alongside Ooh. All the likes of Eurogamer, The Guardian, all these other UK outlets. It's insane, Josh Brown.
It's pretty crazy, Scott. I mean, I did not expect this. And when Jeff popped in your DMs to be like, hey, man, do you fancy doing this? I thought you were joking, to be honest. I thought you were having a laugh because I didn't expect it. But yeah, it was an experience, I'll tell you that.
So the actual Video Game Awards themselves, we just thought we'd break down some of the biggest categories because it's kind of funny, like if you look across, it's like Game of the Year, Best Narrative and Best Art Direction and Best Game Direction. When you start scrolling down the nominees, it's pretty much the same set of titles that are all in this initial set of categories. But we thought we'd break some of this stuff down just because it's fun to talk about these sorts of games across the award season. We might end up doing a more sort of in-depth game podcast. We might end up doing some more in-depth discussions. Me and Josh are already sort of clashing over Ghost of Tsushima versus Last of Us 2, so we might do something about that. However, we just thought we'd do, we've highlighted some categories to go over, obviously the big one being Game of the Year, which is between Animal Crossing New Horizons, Doom Eternal, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Ghost of Tsushima, Hades, and The Last of Us Part 2. You'll be championing Last of Us Part 2, I assume.
Yes, but it's a bloody good list, isn't it, Scott? Like, it's a really strong set of contenders this year. Kind of every single one I expected to be there. Like, I thought Doom Eternal might wobble out of it, but I mean, it's a very deserving game. It's a very good game. And yeah, for me, it would be The Last of Us Part 2. But honestly, if any single one of these games got it, I'd be happy. Like, seeing Hades win it, I think, would be awesome. Seeing Animal Crossing win it, I think, would be great. I'm pleased that snuck in there, because I kind of forgot that existed for a little bit, which was a shame. But I love that at the time. Like, that defines 2020.
If that gets in, it's got in. I will also say that because we're discussing this stuff, we're not going to shine a light whatsoever into what the actual voting procedure is with us being a judge. We're still going to get stuck into debates around what we think should win as individuals. But it's that whole thing where, like you said, Animal Crossing, I also forgot that existed. Doom, the thing that I feel was robbed, was hashtag robbed, rob-dogged, was Ori and the Will of the Wisps. That game is absolutely flawless. And it's in the music category, it's in like art direction and stuff, but I feel like that should have at least got a nomination, although I don't know what I would kick out of here to replace it with.
That's the thing, isn't it? That's the thing. Like, I haven't played it, obviously. You keep telling me to. You sent me a controller so I could play it.
I did?
I still haven't, because I'm a terrible friend and an even worse co-worker. But I feel like, when I think about games that could have been in, like, that's all well and good, but what would I take out? Like, none of them, I don't think, are undeserving. None of them,
Animal Crossing, I think.
No, because Animal Crossing, mate, if you remember back to the chatty faces we did on our midterm reviews when we were talking about what our favourite games of the year were so far back in, like, June, mine was Animal Crossing. Loved that thing. Really enjoyed it. Was an experience unlike anything else I've ever had. And like I was saying before, like, to me, that defined the first half of the year. Like, there were better games, like, mechanically. There were more richer stories to be told, but, like, the collective community joy that game sort of developed was unlike anything else for me anyway.
It was a beautiful thing, and I tried to open a Pixel t-shirt store, which I thought I could do, and
you
then
did?
It wouldn't let me. But I did make a range of pixelated t-shirts, but there's no commerce system in that would let me trade custom items. It might have changed by now, but whatever. But yeah, one of the main things is that The Last of Us 2 and Hades is the game that seems to be nominated across the most categories, some of which being Game of the Year, Best Narrative, Best Art Direction, Best Game Direction, Best Score and Music. But the next category that we're going to spotlight is the overall Best Game Direction, which is between Final Fantasy VII Remake, Ghost of Tsushima, Hades, Half-Life Alyx, and Last of Us Part II. I feel like right now, it kind of feels like Last of Us 2 could sweep everything, which I would be totally happy with. But for me, it would be, I mean, I don't know, Best Game Direction, I think that is the one category that it completely would nail.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, like, in terms of a sort of holistic experience and like, like, the way it is directed, which sounds stupid to say, considering that is the title of the category. I just thought it was, for me anyway, you know, I'd give it 5 stars in the review. I'm still getting crap for that now, but I thought it was, like, so deaf. So sorry.
From this morning, from me, to be honest, not really.
Yeah, exactly, from you, from everyone. I've just popped myself. I don't know what my point was, but yeah, for me, Last of Us would clinch it, but again, it's a very strong category, and I think each single game in this category has a different claim to why it should win. They're not all the same. They're not all done in the same way. It's quite varied in what they all bring to the table, which I find like interesting. I think, you know, I think it's, again, I keep saying I think it's a good category, but it's just been quite a good year for video games, in my opinion. I've really enjoyed myself. I've played more than ever. I've enjoyed more than ever, and more than ever have resonated with me.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what else would slot in there, mate? Bit of Ori. A little bit of Ori there, amongst everything else that you're playing. Just slide it in, mate. You'd love it. It's lovely. That's all it needs. But, thing is that game direction, that's going to take all your attention away. The thing with the best game direction I always think is fascinating is, like, how do you apply a, you know, a directorial flair, like an autorial flair to video games, when obviously we are the ones with all the agency, like panning the camera in certain directions, choosing what we're going to look at, how we progress through something. So it's harder saying, like, it makes more sense to say that Last of Us 2 can nail the game direction standpoint because it's a more linear experience that, you know, you're being guided through specific things, you're hitting specific emotional beats at specific times. But there's something to the like majesty of Ghost of Tsushima that I think it has like an ethereal kind of feel. The first time you bust out your flute and you just start walking like between villages playing this lovely little melody while you're trying to sort of take back the country and you're about to go and clear some other encampment or settlement or something. There's a feeling to that is entirely identifiable and is that game. And I just think that might end up elevating it. Next category though is Best Score in Music. This is the one that I think is insanely tight. It's just so hard to call. It's Doom Eternal, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Hades, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, and The Last of Us Part II. I don't think Doom will get it because of the whole mix-up. Mick Gordon is listed as the composer, but there was that whole mix-up with him saying that the version that went out is not the one that he personally mastered. And so I think that might sort of get in the way of it. I absolutely love, obviously, Doom Eternal's score and everything, but for me, it would be Ori and the Will of the Wisps, like, if I had to just pick something. What was your thoughts on them?
Well, it's tight, 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 and I think Doom Eternal is the one that stands out. It's certainly the most score, I would say, if not the best score. Like, that thing just hits, and it slaps, and yeah, you are right, there was the Mick Gordon controversy, you know, like, there was a lot of fallout surrounding that, but I think that, you know, if you're not an audiophile, if you're not properly going into the masters and looking at the mixes side by side, you probably won't notice, because at brass tacks, it's just a great, well-composed piece of music. For me, it's all it all feels like Mick Gordon to me anyway, like, even though I know he has his issues with it. So I think that just clinches it. I do think the scores across the boards were really good, just in general. I thought, like I said, everything brings something new to it. You know, you've got Doom Eternal's big, pulsing, heavy metal soundtrack. You've got The Last of Us 2 mixing the themes from The Last of Us 1 with this new kind of more industrial sound, which I really thought complemented the darker themes of the game. And I just think, it's like, for music, I sometimes I don't care about it. Sometimes it just blends into the background. But I think all of these games kind of, like, put a stamp on their titles and also support, like, the emotional backbone of it. Like, if you look at something like Hades as well, like, that, like, just sort of feeds through, like, the beat of the whole game. Like, it brings it alive in a way that keeps you invested in those runs and invested in that world, invested in those characters and stuff. And the fact that you have, like, you know, like, the different music for, like, the different hub worlds, it sets a tone, and it sets, more importantly, I think, a sense of place.
I was going to say, with Hades, like, I mean, there's a separate category for audio design, like the actual implementation of music, how it meshes with the game itself. And the titles that are up for audio design are Doom, Half-Life Alyx, Ghost of Tsushima, Resident Evil 3, which is a great shout for that category, and Last of Us 2 again. Hades, though, like, there's obviously you can't just listen to the soundtrack, but even something as identifiable as that one chord that plays when you go to Charon's item shop, that one sort of opening chord thing. I think that it's just so many parts of Hades are so identifiable. And I think I also want to shout out Final Fantasy VII Remake, what they did with that original score, like one of the best scores of all time, to get the original composer to return and go back and just elevate everything. The new Airbuster theme, which might not mean something to you if you don't know the original one, but the amount of oomph they gave that theme is ridiculous. Final thing is best indie game, which is between Carrion, Fall Guys, Ultimate Knockout, Hades, Spelunky, and Spiritfarer. I laughed at Fall Guys because I forgot Fall Guys was still a thing. I just sort of haven't touched that in a while. I don't know about you.
It's up for a lot, man. It's up for a lot. That and Among Us, we're in more categories than I kind of expected, though I probably should have expected it, considering how big they've got over the past few months. I thought it sucked for me that Kentucky Route Zero was in here, because I've been championing that game all year in podcasts, lists, whenever I can plug it. I thought it was going to be a surefire bet for this, but it wasn't. But to be fair, it's had like some real tough competition. I think the one that I want to play the most, because I haven't played everything in this category, I want to play Spiritfarer. Like, that's the thing I want to get to before the Game Awards actually come out.
I think Hades will probably take this just because it's up for so many other categories, and it is such a, I mean, Supergiant have been going for quite a good long time at this point. Obviously Bastion was their first sort of like firm foot into like the identity of that studio, and Hades is kind of the culmination of everything that they've been working on in regards to different combat models and the art direction and Darren Korb's soundtrack, and there's so much to it. Spiritfarer, though, I would love it if that clinched it. I don't think Spiritfarer's ending is as good as the rest of it, but that whole game being about, you know, sort of putting spirits to rest, like different relatives, different people, and you're just sort of trying to make sure that their final wishes are met before you send them off to the great ethereal plane. That game has so much heart, and it's so beautifully done. Like, I might cry if Spiritfarer wins, to be honest, because it would be such an achievement for them.
I
think it is Thunder Lotus's first game as well. What?
Yeah. No, sorry, go on.
No, it's pretty much just that. I think that like that game comes together so well that that was my early lockdown game where I was just living on that. I think I put like 40, 50 hours into it. It's gorgeous, and I finished it as well. I wish it ended a bit stronger. But that whole game's message is that it's about the journey, not the destination, which I can kind of see.
I'm really excited to play it. Like, I'm definitely going to give that a go. I like having this sort of bucket list of games that doesn't include Ori and the Will of the Wisps that I'm going to get to before the end of the year. Looking forward to that. This category in particular, though, it kind of reminds me of, you know, when the Oscars have, like, obviously they have got Best Picture, but then they've got, like, Best International Feature. And sometimes you get a movie from Best International Feature, like Parasite last year, that makes it the Best Picture thing, which kind of makes that other category a bit redundant, because it's like, well, if Hades is in this and is also up for Best Game of the Year, you know what I mean? It's like, I wonder what's going to win. There's not much necessarily competition there, but it's still exciting nonetheless.
I think it's like one of those things where they sort of break down like the indiness of the project, like something like, you know, is it a studio's first title? You know, have they sort of, who did they like, you know, how many titles have they done beforehand in terms of like production value and production scale and stuff like that? So I guess we'll see. But yeah, that's the initial roundup of some of the biggest categories in the Video Game Awards. There's obviously tons to pick apart, and we'll do as much as we can going forward. The actual events, the awards themselves are on the 10th of December, I believe. I thought it was the 17th, but I went back and checked. But yeah, we'll do as much as we can going forward, and just either any of these games deserve to win their categories. It's a hell of a year for games, and feel free to debate stuff down in the comments. So for now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you guys soon.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.